Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on. That's the secret right there. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it. Seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging dinner, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people grow up!
Alrighty, shalom, 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 Israel, saints of the Most High. Hey, I think this is actually working tonight. Glory to the King. It's like been forever since there's been a brothers segment. Yep, getting audio checks. And we're getting the big 1-0 and the big 10s. Well, hey, hallelujah. Yeah, it's been something with the brothers broadcast and blog talk. It just been ain't cooperating, but it appears tonight so far. So good. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to the King. What can I say? Hey, first of all, bless you all, Israel. You know, of course, for those that may not know who this is Elder Becker, Doug Becker with Straightway Ministries, your host of tonight's Blog Talk Radio program. Good to have you all in the room, in the chat room, listening by phone. Always a pleasure to, and a privilege to come before the saints of the Most High and deliver the word of Yah, glory to the King. Obviously, you know, what can you say? First and foremost, right off the top, is the incredible word that the Father has been blessing us with through the man of Yah, Shepherd Pastor Dow. I mean, again, how do you top yesterday's Shabbat service? Really, I mean, when you hear the term rich word, wow. I mean, how much richer can it get? How much fuller? Again, how is anybody that actually has been a part of this ministry and has heard the truth on this level before have any excuse to stand before the Most High? I mean, I have to tell my things these things all the time because as a people, we are honored to be able to hear every facet of this spiritual walk exposed, no matter what it is, from history to you know, where our origins, our roots, what it means to be a son and daughter of the Most High, of Abraham, you know, spiritual warfare, you know, healing, just all the aspects and facets that show that we are ambassadors for the kingdom. I mean, what a great honor that we better carry off into eternity. Anyway, I was going to throw up there yesterday, you know, do y'all remember the real main topics that were covered yesterday in that beautiful message? Well, if you can't remember right now, then it would behoove you to go back and listen to it again and let these things lodge and sink down. It's not like they haven't been spoken about before, but there's always, every time, there's always just more nuggets and more information to help perfect us and get us ready for the coming of the King, because that's what he's looking for, is a spotless bride. I was talking to somebody somewhere, I don't remember where today, because it was a long day on the phone again. I know it was a brother, an older gentleman, I think he's from North Carolina, and he's just starting to really come to the knowledge of the truth, you know, understanding that his heritage is, yeah, there it is, Brother Ugly, discerning the enemy. Really understanding what it's becoming, what it means to be an Israelite and, you know, be of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we got in a conversation and, you know, it came up that how can you ever exhaust the word of the Most High? You know, it's a continual thing out there in the religious world and Christianity and all the other religions. They hold the same tenet, the same doctrines, the same programs. You know, century after century, week after week, month, whatever the case may be. But true Israelites get fed with the word that's inexhaustible because our Father is without limit. And so I'm thankful for that. Also thankful that I can only handle so much because just digesting what we get on a weekly basis is an incredible, even daily with the videos and everything that not only Pastor Dahl, but all the, you know, Pastor Corey and the brethren put out, wow. Who is like unto us? I don't know of anybody else, but glory to the King. Anyway, you know, tonight's topic is light. I've been working on this for a while. I'm glad I finally got to present it. And it's a funny thing that my intro, Pastor Dahl's from an old message, and he says that towards the end of the message that he said we're the only creatures that can walk in darkness and in light. And that is the truth. You either, you know, the striving is to be completely in the light, stay in the light. But as, you know, Gentile, unconverted, we're completely in darkness. Now we're transitioning where it should be into all light, killing off the old darkness, the old man, the old nature. But I've been, I've had some counsel with some faithful brethren, and it's come up before that Elder Becker seems to hurry or go a little bit too fast or tries to put too much knowledge out there in too quick a hurry. So I am going to try to slow myself down. I don't know if that's possible. you know, this is like a reconditioning process for me. So I really give it a try. So be patient with me. But hey, have your pens and pencils and paper on standby. So if you may have to go back and review some notes, okay? Anyway, hey, again, good to see y'all in the room. Always a blessing. And with that, we're going to go ahead and start tonight. The topic of study is called light. All right. Well, when I started the study off, I thought, well, you know, light's defined in a lot of ways, but I figured let's go this route first. Let's actually see, define it by what darkness is to better define what light is. All right. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 13. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 13. And thank you again, Brother Ugly, again for posting. You know, the scriptures, whatever I got up there for the saints to follow along with. Ah, glory to the King. Now, my brothers are just lighthearted. They give me, they love me, Brother Paul. They really do. Glory to the King. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 13. All right, looking at getting an idea what darkness is. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. And if you're dealing with some form of condemnation, guilt, or shame, remember that verse. I mean, he can save to the uttermost. Glory to the King. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Remember, first we're describing what darkness is. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. These are all forms of darkness. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Now remember, Isaiah is actually the prophet is talking to Israel. He's delivering this message to Israel. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. Now there again, you get another form of the viper poisoning. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, lawlessness, crookedness, and the act of violence is in their hands. Again, these are Israelites, right? Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Notice how iniquity keeps coming up over and over and over and over. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Wheresoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace in these crooked, iniquitous paths. Therefore is their judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. Meaning that we're none of these things that actually can redeem us are anywhere near, because we're in this state. Israel was in this state of attitude, character, in this realm of darkness. We wait for light. We're looking for justice. We're looking for judgment, something to actually get us right back where we should have been. But we're so far off that path that we're on the crooked path, not the righteous path. And we wait for light. But behold, obscurity, just continual darkness. We wait for light. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. This is a state whereby walking after the devices of Satan, but so far in, so deep that the closest light we get is darkness, dangerous place. All right, the word obscurity in verse 9 is the Hebrew 28:22. And it's pronounced koshik. It's from 28:21. It means the dark. So behold, obscurity, behold, dark. Hence, literally, darkness. Figuratively, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, obscurity. All right, continuing on to verse 10. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. Imagine that state, that misery, that the anguish. Oof. We look for judgment, but there is none for salvation. And the reason they're looking for judgment is because they want Yah to show up to deliver them. But if at least come to some kind of decision, Father, destroy us or save us or something. But when there's just nothing happening, it's just, you know, straight level flight, and there's no better improvement, but only worse. I mean, you can hope that one thing might just, the Father would just show up and you know, make a judgment, make a sentence, hand out the punishment so we can just get on, because we understand that we're in this way. And we grow up as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We all, okay, I read all that. I'm sorry. But there is none for salvation but is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. They actually have in a state of knowing that this is their condition, and this is, and testifying of all the reasons why they're in this condition, in this darkness, in this obscurity, where there's no hope to see light. In transgressing and lying against the Most High, in departing away from our Elohim, you know, saying, transgressing and lying, saying that we are the people of the Most High, that is our Elohim, but doing absolutely contrary and operating after darkness and the kingdom of Satan. And departing away from our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving, uttering from the heart words of falsehood. All right, darkness is the Hebrew 6:53, and it's a fella. This is the Brown Driver's definition, Brother Paul. It simply means darkness, gloominess, calamity, wickedness. Figuratively. So, you know, what is darkness then? Darkness is, it's spiritual darkness. It's darkness is obscurity. It is sin. It is the old man. It is iniquity. It is lawlessness. It is transgression. It is the shadow of death. It's misery, blindness. It's destruction, death, wickedness. It's ignorance. Lying, oppression, it's revolt, it's falsehoods, it's desolations, it's even the thoughts of iniquity, it's wasting, it's shedding of innocent blood, it's violence, it's running to evil, it's speaking lies, it's muttering perverseness, hatred, it's the carnal mind, it's the crooked way. I mean, the list is endless. A lot of this was just pulled out of these 13 verses. I had a few other things in there, just to get a description of the state that Israel found themselves in. And the prophet described it as just being in gross darkness, groping. And actually, there is no light. There's the absence of illumination and understanding. All right, Psalms chapter 36, verse 9. Psalm 36, verse 9. Glory to the King. All right, for with thee is the fountain of life. These are the words of King David, King David. And so he's addressing his prayer, his song of praise to the Most High. For with thee is the fountain of life, for in thy light shall we see light. So in order to get the light, you have to be in the light, which is the Most High. That's pretty simple. We all understand that, right? The word light is the Hebrew 2:16. As used in Psalms 36:9, it's from the Hebrew 2:15, and this is out of the Strong's. It means illumination. In thy illumination shall we see, we shall be illuminated. It means luminary in the sense including lightning, happiness, etc. It means bright, clear, in the morning and the sun. So it's an illumination. That's the context of it. So in thy illumination shall we be illuminated, or come to a pureness, a holiness, a righteousness. What is Yah's light? Okay, so we define darkness. So what is light? What is Yah's light? It is truth, as we're going to find out in many of the following statements, the scriptures and these verses. It is his truth. It is his word. It is his Torah. It is his wisdom. It is his tree of life. It is his love. It is his deliverance. That's light, being delivered. It is Messiah in you. It is the kingdom of Yah within you. It is the healing the sick. It is the gospel of good tidings. It is the renewed mind, the transformed mind. It is the heart of stone made flesh. It is the Torah written on the table of our hearts. It is the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. These are all light illuminations. It is his illumination that allows us to be illuminated, to know for the first time the difference between what is good and what is evil. All right, turning my page here. Psalm chapter 119, 105. And David clearly understood the difference between light and dark, and he spoke about it all through the Psalms. I mean, you could just do a study on light just based on the book of Psalms, light and darkness. I mean, it was that important. It was that revealing to David. Psalm 119, 105, thy word, this is what pastors quoted at the beginning of Shabbat service yesterday. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, Proverbs 6, 23. And who was the word? Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And the word was with us. That is the lamp, the illumination. That is the vessel that helps us to see where we're going. For the commandment is a lamp. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp. The commandment is a lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And you notice the commandment and the law are joined into one, along with the word. It's all together, just one, because it's all from the Most High. It's all given from the Most High, for the purification, salvation of his people, Israel. Psalm 119, 130. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. So there has to be a door open. There has to be something open in the mind, open in the heart to actually receive the truth. Receive the word, the lamp. Receive the commandment, which is the lamp, and the law, which is light. But there has to be something willing to receive it. There has to be some good ground for this to fall on, for this good light, for these rays to shine on. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Allowing the word to come in, and you will know when the light was able to penetrate into the dark places in your nefesh is when you become totally compliant to them and be obedient. So you know the light has penetrated that part of the darkness when you've been completely and totally given over to walking in that truth. The word entrance in Psalm 119, 130 is the Hebrews 6608, Brother Ugly. And this is the brown driver. And it is pithak, as it's pronounced in Hebrew, I believe. It means an opening, unfolding, entrance, and doorway. Just as Satan, you know, I've talked to somebody here last week about they were dealing with some spiritual battles, and you know, things were happening that shouldn't be happening in dreams and that type of thing. And you know, of course, we talked about curses and objects in the home, but the context of the whole conversation is, where's the doorway? What is the doorway? What open right or entrance did either somebody speaking curses against you, or something that we did ourselves, is allowing these doorways to come open, something in our past, some of the natures, some of the situations and events that we were in our past, is leaving still an open doorway in the future time for the devil to operate in. So my context with the saint was, you know, we have to find the doorways. We need to shut the doorways. We went through some things to break, some areas to, you know, anoint and to close them doors. And the report I got back is that, you know, it's actually the decreased in activity, especially demonic spiritual activity, is just about dropped to nothing. So the Father's good. Thank you. But anyway, the doorway of thy words giveth life. So I kind of got off on the side, but we'll just talk about the importance of doorway. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door to the sheep. You know, they come in and go out according to him. That's the doorway, of course, that we want in our life. Psalm chapter 43, verse 3. Psalm 43, 3. It says, David said, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Let thy light and thy truth, let thy word, let thy law, let thy commandments, let them lead me. Let the truth of thy word, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and unto the tabernacle, the dwelling places, the resting places where Yah inhabited." Again, by allowing the entrance of the word, the truth which illuminates our ways, it will bring us things. This is just one of the reasons it is so vital to receive the truth of our Elohim, no matter how painful it comes to us sometimes, because Yahweh is the one who orders our steps aright and leads us when we are obedient to him and his word and his truth. Psalm chapter 18, still in the book of Psalms. Like I say, this book of Psalms is just loaded. Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. Yeah, Psalm 18, verse 28. "For thou wilt light my candle, the Yahweh my Elohim will enlighten my darkness." Again, David knew what he needed to shine on the darkness, to expose the wicked ways in him so he could turn from them. The word enlighten is the Hebrew 5050. Again, this is in the Strong's. Naga, it means to glitter causatively, again, to illuminate. So illuminate my darkness. Show me what's wicked in me, Father. Show me my wicked ways, and I may turn from them and get from them. David's cry constantly was to be pure before the Most High, to be spotless. Psalm 112, verse 4. Tehillim 112, verse 4. "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness." So the condition is that you're upright. "That ariseth light in the darkness." So it's exposing something, illuminating again, something that's an evil, wicked way. "He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." All right, heading over to the Gospels. Man, like I said, we could wear out the Psalms, but... Well, let me see what's going on here. I got three stuck pages together here that were all blank. Oh, boy. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 79. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 79. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of Yahweh, face for the master, prepare his ways." Of course, this is the prophecy talking about John the Baptist. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." So there's a condition here. We confess our sins, they're remitted, and then we get the knowledge of salvation. "There, through the tender mercies of our Elohim, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness." So it's already stating the condition of the people, already knowing that even though they were Israel, you know, they were still walking in a state that they didn't even understand the goings of their own heart or their own ways. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Good peace, spiritual peace, the peace that passes all understanding. When you're totally in light, the shadow of death is the edge. It's the perimeter, the verge of eternal death. When the unconverted man passes from this life, it is the borders. It's the fringes of the object that the light is casting against. All those ever birthed upon this earth are born into a state of darkness and on the fringes of eternal damnation and separation from Yah. So we're talking about the shadow. The shadow is a result of the light casting on an object, and it projects a shadow. "Light does not have a shadow or cast a shadow. Light is whole and complete in its entirety and intensity. Darkness can never overtake the light, but the light can always overtake the darkness, but only if the light is allowed to penetrate the darkness. And I think that made sense. At least I hope it made sense. Again, what I was describing is the shadow of death being the primer. That's when you see the shadow, that is the edge of what, just the beginning of the edge of the border of the darkness. And you have to proceed into the object to finally get to the core of the darkness. So, you know, those that sat in darkness in the shadow of death, that was their end. They were already in on the border, on the fringe, going into an eternal death or damnation, because they didn't have the illumination or the light of the truth, the word, and the commandment. And of the Holy Spirit, of course. We'll find that out too. John chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. John chapter 3, 17 through 21. Let me see. For Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Glory to the King. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. So if you're dealing with condemnation, if you're dealing with guilt and shame, do something about, is there some sort of form of unbelief in that is kind of blocking or hindering that a little bit? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yah. So we're talking about those that sit in darkness, those that are on the shadow of death, is because at that time that they believe not, so they're condemned, or the judgment's already set. And this is the condemnation, this is the judgment, this is the sentence, that light is coming to the world. Course, and before that, obviously, if it's just coming to the world now, it wasn't there before. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Loved darkness, had even had an affair with it, the pleasures of sin for a season, because their deeds were evil, their inherent and born nature. I mean, come on, there's comfort in that, isn't there? There's comfort in the old lifestyle, the old ways. It's a sense of knowing yourself, and there's no change required. There's no painful truth to accept and turn from. And this is a love affair, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, let me see. Oh, verse 21. Did I stay up to verse 21? I hope so. In John 3:17 through 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in Yah. You know, darkness, it cannot enter the light. Whereas the state of light, wherever that area is light, darkness can't go into. Sin is darkness in our lives. It is a stain. It casts a shadow over us when we manifest the characteristics of a demonic spirit working in us. And, you know, the old flesh, the old nature. And the only way to remove that shadow and the object causing the shadow is to remove the object. Does that make sense? When, let's say, someone's allowing that spirit of anger to operate in, through them, in them and through them, the expression and manifestation of anger we see on the outside is the shadow of the spirit working on the inside. So we must confess and repent and get set free from those demonic spirits, that the shadow and the darkness are to be no more. I presented this to somebody, and what I did, it's a simple, it's like a childlike thing, but it's a good illustration to a good will, you know, a reality illustration to show darkness in light is, you know, I took a 60 watt light bulb and I said, give me a marker, right? One of these indelible markers. And I started to draw little black spots of sin on there. And the more darkness there was on it, on top of this light or this illumination here, the less that the light casts. So the more sin, the more stain that's on in the, supposed to mean the place where the light is, the less light is able to get past that darkness, if that makes sense, because you're actually covering that surface up. So there's less light casting area. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Hey, it makes good sense to me. I'm sorry. I'm the one sitting here, so it should make sense to me, but I mean, I got to help y'all to make sense of what I'm trying to say. Glory to the King. Anyway, yeah. Well, you know what? You know what? We got to take a break. It is the bottom of the hour here, so I'm going to go back. We're going to take a short ministry break and let, if there's anybody new listening tonight, you know, let them hear about the ministry and you know, how to support us and how to continue to, you know, just hear the truth. Okay, I'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, the King is coming. Be at peace, the King is coming. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. All right, back with the study again. Boy, I am moving at a snail's pace because I'm only on page 5. Hallelujah. All right, heading back in, talking about light, illumination, the truth. John chapter 1, verse 1 through, let's see. 1 through 5, John chapter 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, that life, that eternal life, that spiritual life. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Honestly, this is actually the context. This is where I got the origin for, I guess, this blog talk, because I was actually in prayer, and this verse came into my mind. In fact, it came in there, you know, pretty clear, honestly. And I, after I got done, I was actually thinking, actually sitting there and giving a lot of thought and meditation that the darkness, that it doesn't comprehend the light. So it kind of, you know, gave me a whole different perspective of spiritual darkness and spiritual light and spiritual truth. You know, Yahshua, the light, He exposes sin and manifests the deeds of the devil. Darkness cannot embrace light. Darkness cannot make sense of it. It can't comprehend it. And because it cannot understand it or have clarity, and it cannot make sense of it because it cannot understand it or have clarity about the light. Sorry, I'm just reading some from the notes, but it's something so foreign to it that it just can't make sense of it. Light is an enemy and an intruder against darkness. The greater our anointing, the greater our light. Then I have some little notes, just things that, it's like starting on this walk with a 60-watt light bulb, and you're working up to a 200-watt light bulb. That's what should be. The greater anointing, the greater the light, the greater the projection of that light, that truth that lies within you. And the word darkness here in the Greek is the Greek 4653. This is from the Strong's. No, wait a minute. This is, from the Strong's. And it means dimness. So the dimness comprehended not, the obscurity. We talked about that word earlier in the study, and darkness. And obscurity, I looked it up in the dictionary, it just means difficulty in understanding or unclear of meaning. How many of us have fought with that? I mean, is there something that's darkness in us, something that's preventing us that because the meaning, the understanding isn't clear. We can't comprehend what's being said. What's that block? I mean, there's obviously being taught and coming into more knowledge of truth that way. But, what if we should know these things? What if these things should be able to, enter into us and we can't? Well, maybe there's some darkness there. Maybe there's some type of sin there. There is some type of sin that is not allowing this light of the truth to enter in, to keeping it obscure, unclear, and difficulty to understand. And the word comprehend, again, we're talking about darkness and comprehension. It's the Greek 2638 in the Thayer. It means to lay hold of, so as to make one's own, to obtain to make one's own, to take into oneself, appropriate, to seize upon, take possession of. So darkness, basically what it's saying here is darkness cannot make light its own. It can't make truth its own. It can't seize it. So if there's something working you that's darkness, you already have the understanding, the definition of why that simple truth, that pure truth, that holy truth can't be seized upon, because there's an area of comprehension that you're not allowing to go past you or beyond you so you can actually receive the truth. Remember, it's a door, right? Yeshua is a door. Just let it come in. It's the resistance. Now going way back to Isaiah, as we started out, we were talking about, the darkness of the people, and because everything come down to just being willfully resistant against the truth, willfully defiant against the truth, blocking the light, keeping it obscure on purpose, because there was a refusal to change, to actually come out of that dark state, to stop the agreement with it, to seize upon, take possession of evil overtaking one, of the last day overtaking the wicked with destruction, of a demon about to torment one. Anyway, it's up there, but the thing I was trying to hit on is to make one's own, to take into oneself, to appropriate, to take possession of. Psalm 112, verse 4, unto the upright he is gracious and full of compassion. Again, so it's describing the state of the person, that the Father is going to be gracious to and full of compassion and righteous. There ariseth light in the darkness, overtaking it. But it, again, it's the condition to those that are upright, to those that are upright, walk in uprightness, strive for holiness, strive to be right, strive to actually receive the knowledge and the love of the truth. And here comes that light rising up, getting stronger, the anointing getting greater against the darkness that may still be there. Again, like Pastor said, if you listen to my opening montage, is that, we're the only people that can have the ability to walk in light and in dark. Job chapter 10, verses 20 through 22. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. Job is, I mean, he's distressed, right? He's not able fully to comprehend what's going on in his life. He has no answers for the things that he is dealing with, you know. Job, in his condition, if you look at the entirety of what happened, he was in obscurity. He was in a place of unclearness and of lacking in difficulty understanding why all these things that came upon him. I mean, he was diligently serving the Most High. He was, you know, you read in chapter 1 that he was doing everything. He was a perfect and upright man, the Bible calls him. But yet, all of a sudden, he finds himself in this state, and he's questioning everything because he can't. There's a darkness in him that can't comprehend what's going on, that is not allowing him to come to the knowledge of his own truth, of his own self, what is going on. So how many of us had Job experiences? You know, that when you're in a place where you can't understand, you can't make sense of stuff, then the first thing that comes up is to start to complain, start to murmur, start to, you know, put stuff out there, even speaking more death. I mean, Satan and his devices are unbelievably, you know, fight against us to actually destroy our own selves. So here we got Job doing all this, and he's so fed up with it. It's just like, man, I just want to go back where I came from. This is useless. This is hopeless. I just want to give up. And he says that, but the question is, before I go, whence shall I not return, even to the land of darkness and shadow of death? A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is as darkness. There's nothing. A land of darkness, it's chaos, it's mayhem, it's confusion. You know, it has no direction, has no pathways of escape, has no highway of freedom. There's no deliverance. Nothing shines to point the way. You know, it has no light to run to, offers nothing more but more darkness. Where all and any illumination is null and void. I mean, there's absolutely, he was in the state that it was a totally, let's just give up state. I don't know what's going on. It's an escape attitude. You know, how many people do you know of that when things get too heavy, when life gets too complicated, because, you know, like Pastor brought up yesterday in the preaching, we're going to be tried, tested, and proven daily. And it's not, you know, of course, Yahweh's fault, and never has been. It's because there's that little pocket of darkness that we still harbor, we still hide, because we're comfortable with what we left yet. There's too much of that comfort, too much of that attachment that made us feel at ease and gave us that false sense of peace, if you follow what I'm saying. So the Father's trying to drive that darkness out of us by these trials and tests and by the word and by the commandment and everything else, that they just allow it to have root and take life, that darkness has to flee. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through, let's see, 24. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Here we have another spirit of truth. We have more light. Again, more direction to which way to add more light to us, more illumination, and to get rid of the darkness of the things of this earth, and to seek the things that are in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, they're going to be light or going to be darkness. All depends on where your vision is, where one's desires are at, where one's focus, where your vision at, and your determination lie. Are your treasures on building a place of comfort and rest and relaxation on this earth and in your present state, like you are right now, at ease? Or are you working and laboring on yourself to become spotless, become free from any wrinkles or blemishes in this life, to be ready to present yourself to our soon coming King, the one that is full of light, pure of light? We're supposed to be in his image, are we not? The things of this earth are materialistic, and they are temporary and fleeting, but the things that we do for the kingdom in this life are eternal and everlasting. And it is also a state whereby we attempt to serve our own book of the law, meaning being in a state where your treasure is upon this earth. To serve our own statutes and our own commandments, rather than allow the commandments, the things that give light into the dark state, the statutes and the laws, the Torah of our Elohim, to guide our steps. This is trying to serve two masters, which we're going to find out more about. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 22, remember, he starts out with the context of he's hitting the heart. The direction is towards where your heart is at, where your determinations lie, where your vision and focus is. And he says in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, or set on the affections of the thing above, thy whole body shall be full of light. The eye, Jesus uses the symbol, symbology, he uses the object of the eye. And the eye is a place of perception, it's a place of vision, it's a place of focus. It is the way in which we see things in the natural and the spiritual, as in our understanding corner, how do we perceive things and how we receive things. So it is a very good and perfect symbol of how we are internally. The light or the lamp of our bodies, or that which illuminates or shines forth from us, is the projection of what we have happening in our hearts. Comes forth from our eye, which is ourselves or our own way of understanding and the way of knowing how we perceive things and how we act according to what treasures lie in our hearts. And people have also said that, you know, they're talking about the literal eye, where you can look and see that there's a glow in a true saint's eye when they have the spirit of truth in them. There is a light in their eye, a natural physical light that you can actually see. You know, you go to people that are people of the world that are vessels fitted for destruction. Yeah, there is a darkness. There's no hope. There's death. There's obviously the walking in the shadow of death, because the light has never shined upon them. They've never been given their understanding to be opened up. So yeah, you can see it physically too. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Again, the whole context is where your heart is at and how trying to serve two masters, trying to serve the God of this world. Not only, I'm not talking Satan in particular, I'm talking about the self of the world, the old self, the old nature, the old man, the old carnal man, trying to serve that self and its heart, or trying to serve the Yahweh, the Elohim, and have a heart after him, if that makes sense. You know, if you have eyes for the world and the eyes for Yah, your eye is evil. You can't, there's not two, you can't serve the two masters. Jesus talked about in the book of Revelation, easily, I would that you would be either completely hot or completely cold. Don't be a hypocrite, either one or the other, but there's more hypocrisy trying to be in the middle ground. Same thing here. You can only serve one master. It's impossible to serve two. There is a great self-deception, believing that one can have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You know, mammon represents the world and the God of this world and ourselves, self-idolatry, and all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, tells us clearly, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. So why would, in Yah's name, would we want to lay up these kind of treasures here on this earth? Because it's all going to go, it's all fitted for destruction, all of it. Pick the one master. So let your eye be full of light. So you're single, you're focused, everything is set for the kingdom. There's not a two nature working there. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9. I think I had this one already, but I'll have it twice. Glory to the King. Proverbs 13, verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices. Well, obviously, why does it rejoice? Why does the light or the understanding, the illumination, knowing the difference between good and evil, why does it rejoice? Obviously, for that, because it knows the difference between right and wrong, darkness and light. It knows how to walk and what to operate in. But the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Why? Because there's going to be no oil. There's going to be nothing to illuminate that, because they've chosen to walk. The wicked choose by their nature to walk in darkness. So their lamp can put out nothing. There's nothing there for it to burn or to illuminate. There's no witness. There's no, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Glory to the King. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. The singleness. And a good report maketh the bones fat. Again, going back on, Jesus was, you know, clearly talking. We see what Jesus is talking about, the eye. We're talking about, see what Proverbs, Solomon talking about the eye. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. Because it knows it's indicted in a good matter. Psalm chapter 49, verse 16. Psalm 49, 16 through 20. Psalm 49, 16 through 20. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house increased. I mean, why should there be a fear? I never even considered that. Be not thou afraid when one is made. I guess it's because the power and the influence that the rich can attain to. When the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry away nothing. His glory shall not descend after him. The while he liveth, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee, and when thou doest well to thyself. And this is just, going on the back of talking about where Jesus said, you put your treasures at. You know, because you're going to have it good on this earth. Your whole life and focus is on the things of this earth. Even though you may say that you're Israel, your eye is still geared towards making a better life here. Or making a more permanent and comfortable life while forsaking the things that have eternal value to them and eternal consequences. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. These are talking about a particular kind of people that, again, that they're striving to make it successful in this world while they have breath in their body, never thinking about their eternity. And this is talking about, this is addressed. David is talking about the state of men as he knew it at that time, which is, of course, an exact representation of things that are happening even today. They may have never had it in the first place. The light. Okay, I'm just making up stuff here, but some of my notes talking about that. He showed the rich, those that are increased riches, made riches, who focus on this life and not getting rid of the darkness, but actually getting deeper into darkness or in the comforts of this flesh, they shall never see light. And my note says that they may never have had it in the first place, but if they did and traded the light of the life for the ways of death in this life, woe be unto them. Again, saying that they started out in the way of the truth, and then the things of this world came in, the luster, everything else, the darkness came in that was of the world that and started to distinguish the light, and you slowly watch it go out. For the ways of death in this life will be, and it reminds me of, and again, I just had down here in my notes that these agents of Satan that transformed themselves in the angel of light, like Cleflo Dollar, what's some of these other idiots, Joel Osteen, Jesse Duplantis, on the TBN and all them imposters right there. I don't know these people. I don't know them personally. Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, I used to watch him when I didn't even know who Yahshua really was. I didn't know. I wasn't even born again at that time. There's just something to draw. What he was saying was, man, it just caught my breath. So I'd wait till my ex-wife and my children, they went off to the Catholic deal, and I'd stay home, and I'd secretly turn on, John Hagee. There's all kinds, Brother Ugly. And I'd turn on Jimmy Swaggart and watch, because it was just something he was saying. It was just convicting my heart even way back then. And I actually, wondered if he was really, somebody that was actually truly called to the Most High, and he started out right, but the things of this world enter in and totally, Satan got advantage of him, took him out. He started to gain notoriety. He started to gain riches. He had all the best things in life he never had before. Pastor will tell you that one of his testimonies is early on in this walk, Satan came to him trying to tell him that he would give him all this same like thing, all the riches and cares of this world, and make him a very popular man and make him with great notoriety, have great large masses following him. Pastor just, and rebuked Satan, told him to get away, turned on, went back to sleep. I think I remember what he said about that night or that encounter. Finishing up on verse 20. Man that is an honor and understandeth not is like a beast that perish. Or man that is honored for his earthly abundance, for his influence and wealth, doesn't realize that there's a payday at the end of the road. So that's kind of where this is all going to. John chapter, 1 John 1, 5 through 8. 1 John 1, 5 through 8. This then is the message which we have heard of him, I declare unto you. So they heard it of Yahshua. And declaring you that Yahweh is light and in him is no darkness at all. So here's clear direction. This is the testimony. This is the message. This is the purity. This is where if you're called and chosen, this is where you go. Because this is the light. There is no darkness. This is purity. This is holiness. This is righteousness in his word, his way, his commandments, his Torah. If we say that we have fellowship with him, talking fellowship with the Yahweh, the Elohim, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So where do all liars go? And we've known plenty of people over the years that say that, you know, that they have fellowship with the Father, that that they're part of the ministry, that you know, they have the love of the brethren, and they show themselves something, and in the meantime, they're walking in darkness, and they do lie to themselves, not only Father, but to themselves as well. And of course, here's the fruit, and they do not the truth, so you know them by their fruit. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, or the illumination, the understanding of the kingdom of heaven, who Yah is, what he's trying to do for us, what his desire is, what his pleasure is to give us the kingdom, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yahshua HaMashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is all the things that are in the light. This will never happen in that dark state, or that old state, that carnal state, that state that we're supposed to be leaving and be transformed from. For we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, when the darkness comes in the means of thought, right? Here comes a spiritual darkness. It comes into your mind. It bombards your mind. These are dark thoughts that are being introduced to your mind. You know, they don't bring any comfort, no peace. They cause you agitation, irritation. They cause you to react and manifest after the manner of flesh. This is all darkness trying to come into the light. It's entering through the mind, trying to get in the heart and have place. And, you know, it's demonic spirits, right? They're trying to get you to open up the door to let them in, so they can, the light that is in you, they can invade that with their darkness and help extinguish the light that you now have. 1 John chapter 2, 8 through 12. 1 John 2, 8 through 12. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He brought us out of a state of darkness into his marvelous light. We can understand what sin is. We understand what evil is. We understand the old Adamic nature now. He that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And of course, hate is the manifestation of evil, and hate is the manifestation of the unregenerated carnal man operating after a dark nature. So you know them by their fruit. You know which kingdom people are walking in. You know that the light that they're supposed to be generating, there's a stain of darkness, a stain of sin, when you see that outward manifestation of sin, of a spirit. You hear the talk, and you know, there could have been many different things that John wrote about here, but he said that he that hateth his brother, because we're to love one another, because Yah is love. And to be anything other outside the image of Yah makes us a liar. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. So as long as you stay in the love of the brethren, love your brethren. How do you love your brethren? You reprove him, you correct him, you become a servant to him, you help him. Be helpers one to another. That's how you show your love for your brethren. You know, have good fellowship, comfortable fellowship. It is. It's difficult. If there's one thing that in this walk is actually having to tell somebody about themselves, because you never know if you're going to get, a kickback. If you're going to get somebody's going to go in an uproar. You never know if an offense is going to enter in. You know, that's it. But you've been warned if you see something the wicked way, you have to do it. But come on, if the light is in you, is shining on, in your mind, is illuminating something that darkness in somebody else, don't you owe it to them to go, you know, at least love them enough to let them know? Yeah, again, it's not an evil thing. It's not evil. Jesus help me. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's necessary if you really love your brother and you love your sister. All right. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. None occasion of stumbling who? Well, I would say both. The one that loves his brother and the brother, if you can get him to see the light. And they both abide in the light. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walk in darkness, believing the whole time that they're in the light, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his mind. Wow, look what hate does. Man, it puts the blinders on. Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those. Who what? Hate? Through all kinds of things, but there's a specific spirit that's talking, a conditioner is talking about hate. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Man, thank God he don't take the same approach if we have difficulties in our life, if a brother has offended you or a sister has offended you or supposedly done you wrong or misrepresented you or something. Man, I can't, man, that's happened to me plenty of times over the years. And the first impulse is to go up and you want to defend yourself. You want to say, no, that ain't right. No, no, no. The Father knows. He knows all things. He sees all things. So you're going to be vindicated by Yah and Yah alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Well, glory to the King. Thank you, Father, for your renewing mercies every day. We have this ministry. We have received mercy. What's the mercy that we're receiving? This ministry, this truth. We shouldn't faint, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. These are all things to put off and put away and distance ourselves from this darkness. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yah deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yah, letting our light shine before other men. But if our gospel be hid, the truth, the good tidings be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Why is it hid to them? Whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Yah, should shine unto them. I mean, how many people have you witnessed to in your lifetime and talked to? And then they start to get a little taste of it. You can see that there's some acknowledgement that the Father's trying to open up their understanding, right? And then here comes the God of this world. And he's going to totally block and hinder that, and he's going to put him... remove quickly that which was spoken to him, that seed. And here comes the blindness even in a greater degree. For we preach not ourselves, but Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ the Master, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, for Yah, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of Yah in the face of Yahshua Jesus the Christ. All right, the book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, or the Apocrypha. But yeah, Ecclesiasticus, Sirach 17, chapter 17, verse 25 and 26. This is what the writer says. Return unto Yahweh and forsake thy sins. Make thy prayer before his face and offend less. Why is this admonition giving here, this warning, this direction? There's a reason for it again. Turn again to the Most High and turn away from iniquity. Remember we started how many times in Isaiah when we started the study out, how many times that in the word iniquity came up, lawlessness, crookedness, crooked ways. For he will lead thee out of darkness into the light of health. If you do what? If you return back unto him, just like the prophet told the people of their ways, And they were in such a state they couldn't get judgment. They were seeking something, but they couldn't get it. But the admonition here, the admonition is return back to the Father for whatever way that you went astray, from whatever you backslid, and forsake the sins, the ones that brought you there in the first place. Get on your face, make prayer, do what you can to offend less. These are all directions. Turn again to the Most High and turn away from iniquity. For if doing all these things, actually the performance of all these things, and he, Yahweh, will lead thee out of darkness into the light of hell. And hate thou abomination vehemently. This again is putting on the image and character of the Most High, being a reflection on this earth where Yahweh Elohim is in heaven, as our Father, as our Abba. Acts chapter 26, verses 14 through 18. Acts 26, 14 through 18. And when we were fallen to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Yahweh? Who art thou, Master? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I am Yahshua. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. For what purpose, Paul? Written. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to whom now I send thee. So here we got Yahshua, we got Jesus raising up Paul to do what? To go unto the Gentiles to whom he now send thee. To do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Somebody got to be a preacher. Somebody's got to be sent. Somebody's got to be there to minister and deliver the word of Yah. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto Yah, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So they have the knowledge to repent. Anybody can identify with that when you came out of darkness into light. I mean, the pressing, the countless times that Yah sends somebody to minister to you, giving them little, little bits of light, these little bit. And how do you remember how you rejected it at first? You remember how you just kind of like, because of the shame or the reproach or whatever the case may be. That's the stuff that I went through. You know, what would my coworkers think? You know, when I get this guy, you know, he's telling about Jesus and this all this weird stuff and all this other stuff. You know, and I didn't know at the time, but this was light hitting my darkness. And my darkness couldn't comprehend it. It couldn't receive it at the time, even though the Father was trying to get through to my thick head. And then again, it was by the continual ministering and delivering of the word by whom those that the Father sent was able to put me in a state where I actually forgiveness my sins and walked from a state of darkness into light. Glory to the King. John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I mean, to acknowledge that you're in Yahshua HaMashiach, to actually say that you're in the light, requires a performance, requires an action. You just can't say that and say that because I'm born again in Yahshua HaMashiach and Jesus the Christ, that the light of the world, that I have the light of the world. No, it actually takes... this is a walk. And again, he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, meaning that it's a pathway, but shall have the light of life or the lamp, the illumination to see going forward in this life to get to the kingdom, right? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Well, we almost done. Hey, now I know I'm doing better because I'm way over the hour mark and I'm still got words left. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right. I missed one. The book of Baruch in back in the Apocrypha. Baruch in the Apocrypha. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the commandments of Yah, and the law that endureth forever. And all they that keep it shall come to life. But such as leave it shall die. Well, so much for Christianity. Well, they never had it to come to begin with. Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Again, here's a cry to repent and grab back onto it. Go back to the thing that actually gives you life. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated. So what the context? The presence of the light in the context here is the book of the commandments of Yahweh and the law that endureth forever. They shall bring thee to life. The same thing is today. Did I read? Yeah, John 8:12. Did I read that, John 8:12? I see up there. Yeah, I did. Hallelujah. I think I skipped ahead one, but glory to the kings. And Matthew chapter 5. Yeah, okay. I just missed that one, but went back. Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. How can you be the light of the world unless you have Yahshua in you? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Pastor quoted this one yesterday, too. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Again, if you look at this, this ties directly back into the talents. I mean, you're not going to give something too much is given, much is required. So if you're given the truth in any measure, you better represent it justly. You're not going to go put it under a bushel. You're not going to hold it back for whatever reason. You're not going to allow your light to be put out under that bushel, only shine within the underneath that covering. No, it don't work that way. You got to get out there for the whole world to see it. They'll recognize the spirit of truth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And again, you know, seeing the good works, the going forth in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, but not for your sakes, but for the glory of God and for his kingdom. That's what it all comes down to. I mean, you're a witness against the darkness of this world by performing the works and the commission of the Most High on this earth. The word light here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is the Greek 5457. It's phos, and it means to luminous. In the widest application, natural. This is from the Strong's natural, artificial, abstract or concrete, literal or figurative, fire or light, to shine or make manifest. So make manifest before men your good works. A few more here and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that show forth the praise of him who has done what? Who has called you out of darkness, because you couldn't have these particular labels or these attributes attached to you if you had still been in darkness. But he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, so damn it, represent it correctly, walk in it correctly. Which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of Yah, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shine. You know, not only did, of course, this was a prophecy that was talking about Yahshua HaMashiach in his coming. But, you know, we see that same thing today because we're all witnesses to that and we're all partakers of that, are we not? Let's see here. Okay. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. Isaiah 42:16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I mean, you didn't have any idea when the Father brought you into his marvelous light, did you? You know, you can talk to people and they'll get the testimony of all the things that have happened to them in their life. All the places they end up, all the paths they cross with certain people in their life. And, you know, just knowing that they had to go here, not even knowing that just, you know, they were put in this position or moved to this place, whatever. The Father's orchestrating this whole way. You were blind at the time. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't know what path it was going. You thought you were doing it a lot of times your own volition, but as the Father guiding or in your steps to bring him into his marvelous light. And I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight once he illuminates you. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. And I thank you that for that, Father. I really do. All righty. Well, this concludes the study on light. I hope you got something out of it, some type of understanding. It's something pretty basic in Israel that we understand light and darkness, but do we really meditate and think on it? Because that is the image of Yahshua. In him is light and no darkness at all. And, of course, we have to become like our King. So get rid of them spots of darkness, that sin of darkness, that's them spirits of darkness that are hindering your light. They can't comprehend it anyway. They can't make sense of it. So help them out. Get them out. Get them out of the house. You know, make your light shine before all men. Anyway, I sure hope you all enjoyed the study. I appreciate you all. It's my honor and privilege to speak to Israel. It really is. And it is also a fearful thing. But are we still on? I don't know if we went off the air or what. Something happened. Oh, there we go. All right. Boy, I didn't know there was that kind of a delay. Glory to the King. Well, bless you all. Anyway, I appreciate you listening tonight. And hopefully that the brothers broadcast can have a continuous string of successes, instead of these malfunctions. But anyway, hey, stay tuned. Always to what the ministry's got going on. It's all for your edification, your correction, instruction, and for righteousness' sake. Y'all have a blessed week as well. Yeah, as a reminder, as always, y'all already know it, those of Israel, but, keep praying for, of course, our shepherd in Israel. Like you said in, the patron video today, that, the Father can get him more personal time where he can feed us a more rich and greater word. And less distractions. So don't bring no distractions, Israel. Come on, man. Love one another. Don't hate one another. Don't get mad at one another. It's the devil. Don't you get that? It's the devil that causes you to feel envious and jealous and hatred and anger and ill will and everything. It's the devil. We got to get that because we don't walk in darkness. We walk in light, right? Glory to the King. Anyway, y'all have a blessed week. Stay encouraged. Pray for one another that we may be healed, right, and delivered, because we're all trying to strive for the same thing. So let's all be united in the same common goal, to praise and bless our Father, lift up his name as holy, and show forth his wonderful works. All right. Bless y'all. Y'all have a great week. Shalom. The King is coming.